93.3, your jazz and justice station. Education, art, health, music, politics, and all things community.
Yes!
Join me, Ambrose Lane Jr., as we uncover the issues of D.C. communities east of the river on To the East, Mondays at 5 p.m. right here on your station for Jazz and Justice, WPFW 89.3 FM.
The Collision, where sports and politics smash, Thursdays at 10 a.m. and on iTunes and Google Play. WPFW, Washington, D.C. The talk show Africa Now airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. It's a modern view on historical issues concerning the entire African world, addressing how African people are participating in globalization, ways in which the rest of the world continues to exploit African resources, uncovering labor violations by corrupt politicians and Western government powers. Learn what's happening now in interviews with artists, activists, scholars, and a host of other experts each episode. Listen Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Africa Now is also available on iTunes Podcast, Google Play Music, as well as SoundCloud on your station for Jazz and Justice, WPFW, Washington.
Hi, I'm Robin Holden.
Hi, I'm Miyuki Williams.
WPFW and Parks and People invite you to the Jazz and Justice Festival, Sunday, June 22nd, from 12 noon until 8 p.m. at Malcolm X Park.
It's a family-friendly celebration of culture, community, and resistance during the week of Juneteenth and the summer solstice.
Experience the power of WPFW's on-air voices brought to life with featured speakers Anthony Browder and Reverend Lennox Yearwood.
Live performances by Saiz Kamaluddin, Kaba, and Proverbs, plus DJ Lance Reynolds and Underdog, keeping the vibe alive.
Connect in the community led by Milani Douglas. Explore art curated by Adrian Ferguson and enjoy intergenerational fun with activities for elders and children alike.
That's Sunday, June 22nd at Malcolm X Meridian Hill Park from noon until 8 p.m. Registration at eventbrite.com.
It's a Jazz and Justice Festival, the WPFW way.
WPFW.
Building a better world.
One broadcast at a time.
Thank you.
leaves us to our tears. More, lawmakers cry. And in the name of brotherhood, the rivers run dry. We shall not stand down. We'll not be your clown. All the flame burning bright. No perilous night.
And welcome to We the People. I'm your host, David Whetstone, right here at 89.3 FM, WPFW Washington. Also on WPFWFM.org. Welcome to this hour. If you're new to this hour, We the People is a news magazine that's on your Jazz and Justice radio station on Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern. It's a magazine that covers the issues of race, gender, history, politics, and culture, especially where they intersect, where people are working, both past, present, and for the future. And so we thank you for your support of this station. Today's topic is a look at France Fanon. France Omar Fanon, the psychiatrist, social, and political philosopher from Martinique, has made a profound impact on our post-colonial world and the notions of revolution and liberation. To help us understand this important historical figure, our guest is Dr. Marilyn Seyfoclé. Dr. Seyfoclé is a professor in the Department of World Languages and Culture at Howard University. She is a polyglot who speaks 9 languages. She created with colleagues a certificate program in interpretation. She has served as a public information assistant for the United Nations and performing her duties in 7 different languages. She also has served for 2 decades as an interpreter for the World Bank and other international institutions. She's an advocate for languages in general and for simultaneous interpretation in particular. Dr. Seyfoclé is also the president and founder of the Women's Ambassadors Foundation and the Women's Ambassadors Conference, bringing together diplomats, experts, students, and teachers. Its role is to highlight the importance of languages in diplomacy, to celebrate the work of women in diplomacy and related fields, to provide role models to students, and inform them about major issues in international affairs. She has also created the African American and Afro-European Transatlantic Forum, bringing together Afro-descendant members of Congress and other leaders on both sides of the Atlantic to examine issues of common interest to their respective constituencies. Doctor, welcome and good morning. Thank you for being with us. Well, no doubt that France Fanon is a very, very important figure. And I understand that in your life and work, he has been that as well. I know that this Saturday at 4:10 p.m., you're going to introduce a biopic film on him at the AFI Silver Spring Theater in downtown Silver Spring. So first of all, tell us a little bit about your work and how it relates to Dr. Fanon.
Well, my work relates Dr. Fanon in the sense that he is always the person, the foremost thinker of African liberation that we always mention. And we mention him in classes in the context of African liberation. As a professor of German, for example, I teach the colonization of Namibia, for example. And in teaching the colonization of Namibia, of course, we think of Hendrik Witbooi, but we also evoke all the major thinkers of African liberation. And Fanon is definitely a towering figure in that sense.
And since you mentioned your teaching responsibilities, I want to inform listeners of your research interest. They are many. Firstly, interpretation and translation. Then the history of Afro-Germans. Anton Wilhelm Amo, who was an Afro-German philosopher of the 18th century, an important figure, and I'll allow you to tell us who she is, but Mach Buba. Afro-Germans and contemporary Germany is another subject. Germany and its colonial past. The all-important Berlin Conference, since we're going to be talking about colonialism, the people should look up the Berlin Conference when they get an opportunity. And Germany and reparations for Namibia, which you mentioned. Europe, America, and reparations. Right-wing extremism in Germany and the United States. Links between German colonialism and Nazism. And the same for Europe, women and diplomacy, and that in all these subjects, you have published both in English, German, and French as well. Thank you for that work. Getting back to introduction, since I mentioned this figure, Mach Buba, that will be an unfamiliar name to people. Why don't you just briefly explain who she was?
Well, Mach Buba was an Ethiopian woman who was sold as an enslaved person on the market, the slave market in Cairo. And she became the property of Prince Pückler Muskau, who was a German prince. He traveled with her around Europe and brought her back to home to his castle, where his former wife also resided. So Mach Buba met a very early demise. I mean, she died when she was 16. And today, when Mach Buba is, her life is examined, it's examined sometimes by feminists, sometimes by groups that have different political agenda. And she is presented either as a feminist icon or as something, somebody that she was not exactly. So I tried to restore the image of the who she was. But she, one of the essential things to remember about Mach Buba is that she influenced Prince Pückler Muskau in terms of making Germany green.
So the impact of African descended people on the colonial enterprise is long lived. It has a long history. Getting back to our subject at hand, Dr. Fanon, why don't we go by way of a brief introduction? Certainly our conversation is going to be as full and as robust as we can attempt it to be. But tell us about the important milepost in Dr. Fanon's life.
Well, Dr. Fanon was born in Martinique in 1925, so this is his 100th anniversary. His ideas have not acquired a single wrinkle because they continue to inspire new generations of African liberation activists and Pan-Africanists. He also inspired people beyond the Black diaspora. For example, he inspired Che Guevara. He inspired also the Tamils and currently the Palestinians. He did inspire Malcolm X and many more liberation movements. So,
including Cuba and Che Guevara. Yes.
Exactly. So at the core, Fanon is a Pan-Africanist. He's a towering figure. And he has had a profound impact on the Algerian War of Independence against the French. Originally, he is from a middle-class family. In the Caribbean, and to be more specific, he from Martinique. So in Martinique, he was taught by none other than the famous author Aimé Césaire. So Aimé Césaire was his mentor. He was my mentor as well. Fanon fought for the liberation of France initially from the yoke of the Nazis. So he went to France.
He did service in the Free Army during World War II. Is that correct?
Exactly. He was part of the Free Army in World War II.
Which is anything but free, by the way.
Exactly. But up to that point, he thought of himself as French until Liberation Day. And on Liberation Day, the French capital, the colonial troops who had been in the forefront during the war, they were sorted out. They were eliminated. And they were replaced by young white recruits. Some of them had not even seen the front. And so liberation in the eyes of the top brass in the French army had to look white. So they pushed aside people like Fanon. So a few months after, for example, it's very important here to remember the Thiaroye massacre to illustrate the fact that people of color, black people, did not have... their effort in the war was not as appreciated by France as we could think. For example, a month after the liberation, Senegalese soldiers back in Senegal were told that they were not going to receive a military pension. Can you imagine? According to just like they were not going to receive that pension like their French counterparts. So they made their demand heard from the top brass in the French military. And after negotiations, the commanders acquiesced to their demands. So the Senegalese soldiers were very happy that their demand were met, and they began rejoicing. And to avoid paying them, the French army bombed the camp of Thiaroye, and most of the Senegalese tirailleurs who had been in the front, at the forefront of the war, and sometimes given were under armed. Okay, they all died.
The sense of betrayal is one that Dr. Fanon experienced both in his formative years, the rite of passage, and as you were saying, in his service to France. Is there anything further as far as when we refer to the formative years, his growing up, being taught by Monsieur Césaire? Is there anything else you'd like to mention about that formulation?
Well, initially he felt very French until the war, until the liberation. I shouldn't say until the war, but until Liberation Day. When the black soldiers were pushed aside, he felt quite French. He came from a middle-class family, from a bourgeois family. Later on, he studied in Lyon. He studied psychiatry. And then he was posted in Algeria. So he was sent to Algeria to the psychiatric hospital of Blida-Joinville as the head of the psychiatric unit. And right away, he understood that he could not treat his patients without taking into account the violence of colonialism. And that's very important.
And in his studies in France, besides studying the discipline of psychiatry, he, I don't think it's in Lyon, but somewhere else, he encountered Jean-Paul Sartre and a number of other important figures as well. So he brings that into his Algerian experience. Am I right?
Yes, he met Jean-Paul Sartre, and Jean-Paul Sartre, he was inspired by Jean-Paul Sartre to a certain extent. But Jean-Paul Sartre looked at the pursuit of happiness, for example, in a very individual way, a very individualistic way. And Fanon thought more of liberation and pursuit of happiness as a collective. So that's the big difference between him and Jean-Paul Sartre. He, of course, as a psychiatrist, he was very much, he had delved in the studies of Sigmund Freud. But he also rejected Sigmund Freud because he felt that Sigmund Freud, with his Oedipus complex and his nuclear family, did not apply to black people, did not apply to the black diaspora that had families that were not necessarily nuclear family.
So, allow me to reintroduce you. Listeners, you're listening to We the People right here at 89.3 FM, WPFW, your Pacifica Foundation radio station that's been in existence because listeners like you support this station both financially and socially. For both things, I and 100 other programmers are very grateful. And we're talking about, again, Dr. Frantz Fanon with Dr. Marlene Seyfoucle. Dr. Seyfoucle, excuse me, doctor. Dr. Seyfoucle is a polyglot who is a professor in the Department of World Languages and Culture at Howard University. She's an active translator, concerned about international affairs, and ensuring the impact of Dr. Fanon and a bit of his biography for us here. Again, you're listening to We the People. I'm your host, David Whetstone, and the topic is Frantz Fanon. Doctor, back to you. It's important to understand this notion of the collective. And I would say Dr. Fanon is probably the earliest figure that really brings community and family structures and systems and concerns in the to the care of patients. Tell us more, if you please.
Well, according to Olatunde Fashira, and I quote him, Fanon posits that colonial violence is a dehumanizing force, and the colonized violence resistance is a form of reclamation of their humanity. So Fanon studied his patients in the hospital in Algeria, in Blida, and he noticed that there was something that he had in common with the people in Algeria. And looked at when he came to Algeria, there had been quite a few massacres. For example, the most deadly massacres, for example, were those of Sétif, where 6,000 Algerian civilians were killed by the French troops, and the massacre of Guelma, where 45,000 civilians were killed by the French troops and by the French settlers. So these had occurred already in 1944. So when Fanon arrives in Algeria, he realizes that Algerians psychologically are suffering from the same psychological condition that the people of his native Martinique. So colonization had forced a distorted view of self among the colonized. So according to Fanon, to get rid of colonization, the colonized have to reclaim and reaffirm their national identity. So what fascinates Fanon is the dynamics between race, culture, national identity, family. All this is very important to him. And he also cornered the term racial interpolation. So what is racial interpolation? It is the process by which individuals are assigned racial identities and subjectivities through social institutions and also through interactions. So he encouraged people to reject that. So a perfect example of racial interpolation, for example, is a perception of black men or black women, by the way, and in a predominantly white society. And that perception leads to very tragic events. So we have seen that with Trayvon Martin, with George Floyd, and the list is very long in the U.S.
And doctor, we're approaching the halfway mark. Time really is flying, especially since we're talking about the important France Fanon. We're going to take a break. We're going to provide a public service announcement and be right back with you. I encourage listeners to stick with us in this hour. We'll find out more about France Fanon, the man, his concepts, and importantly, the legacy that he bears to us to this day. Thank you for listening thus far, but stick with us as we continue our conversation. We'll be right back after this.
Freedom!
June is Caribbean American Heritage Month. Thus, CAWI, CPN, ICS, AFI, and Africa World Now Project present the 23rd DC Caribbean Film Fest, June 6th to June 12th at AFI Silver Theater and Cultural Center in downtown Silver Spring. The festival showcases the best in Caribbean cinema with films such as the U.S. premiere of Fanon and more. The DC Caribbean Film Fest, June 6th to June 12th. Information at afi.com/silver or 301-495-6700. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
And welcome back to We the People. I'm your host, David Whetstone. But more importantly, our subject at hand is Dr. France Fanon. And I ask you to focus on the sharing from our guest, Dr. Marilyn Sefolkle. Dr. Sefolkle is not only a professor in the Department of World Languages and Culture at Howard University, she's also created and the founder of the, of the Women's Ambassador Foundation and the Women's Ambassadors Conference, and the African American and Afro-European Transatlantic Forum. Doctor, if you please, welcome back and thank you. We were talking about the many, many concepts of Dr. Fanon, and I know you're going to be speaking in a few days this week here in D.C.,
Well, we will speak about, I just want to remind the listeners that the subject of our discussion is Fanon, and it is also the title of a biopic film by director Jean-Claude Barney. And I will be introducing this film Saturday, June 7th at 4:40 p.m. at the AFI Silver Spring Theater in downtown Silver Spring in Maryland. And it is part of the many offerings of the D.C. Caribbean Film Fest. And there will be a repeated showing on Wednesday, June 11th at 6 p.m. You can always consult silver.afi.com for more information about this festival. We were talking about Fanon and his ideas. I just want to go back to two of his main works. One work is The Rest of the Earth, and the other is Black Skin, White Masks. And Fanon focused on the deep psychological impact of racism. At the individual level, racism damages the colonized. And for Fanon, and that's where Fanon is sometimes very much misunderstood, is that Fanon did say that the individual, at the individual level, violence is a cleansing force. It frees the native from his inferiority complex and from his despair and inaction. That's a quote. It makes him fearless and restores his self-respect. So that was a Fanon in The Wretched of the Earth. So people misunderstood this quote as saying that Fanon was advocating violence. He was not advocating violence, in fact. He was saying that violence cannot be pursued without a clear political goal. And he was saying that this clear political goal can be articulated under colonial rule, and that sometimes violence is a collective catharsis. It allows the colonized to obliterate the colonial order. But he also said that violence is equally harmful to both the colonized and the colonizer.
Yes, and I was about to say that, as well as there's a real politique or fundamental reality that violence is the primary and almost singularly only language of the oppressor. So posing the rhetorical question, what do you do in engaging that? That's the drama. You know, I'm glad you mentioned this remark. In my introduction, I insinuated a post-colonial world, but Dr. Fanon would say that in this determination, this determined commitment to control oppression, colonialism doesn't necessarily disappear legally or formally. It seems to be a dynamic that's very much present in Western history. So the individuals trying to free themselves of it, there's a constant tension, a constant churning. I also believe that he created a description of this space as being torn between being and non-being. And you've been illustrating to us his concept of a new person, a new man, as far as the phrase was coined back in his day, but he certainly met new people, both men and women, as such.
Yes, indeed. He believed in creating a society with that would be completely devoid of colonialism, of the dynamic between the dominated and the dominant, those who dominate. And so that was his dream. His dream was that of a society where everyone would participate and everyone, regardless of their origin, would bring something to the table. So that was his dream. And he was able to articulate that also in Black Skin, White Mask. The title itself of Black Skin, White Mask suggests that the people who have people of black skin have to wear constantly that mask. And that mask can articulate itself in different ways. It can articulate itself in self-rejection. It can articulate itself also in the embrace of the culture of the other in an excessive way. It can also articulate itself in code switching, for example. So this is where we use different language when addressing the person uses a different language, a different tone, a different way when addressing a white person as opposed to addressing his people of his own group. So he studied that, and he was hoping for a new society where all this is not necessary. So He lived also racism in his own flesh, you know, from small incidents to a much bigger ones. For example, he remember a child at the train station calling him, saying to his mother, "Maman, un nègre, regarde, un nègre." And he felt sort of objectified by that gaze. He felt this was a situation where he was the white child was in fear of his presence, and he in turn feared the consequences. So that was very telling, this particular incident that he evokes in Black Skin, White Mask.
I understand that you pay very careful attention to language. Black Skin, White Mask was indeed his dissertation, which was rejected for initially and rejected for publication. And so he was determined to have it published. I would just say I'm not well read with Dr. Fanon, but the language is very evocative, but also very accessible and very direct. The sense of directness. I've also understood that his subsequent work, The Wretched of the Earth, was published after his death. that there's issues of translation and omission in his work. Could you help us understand that, possibly for a reader or somebody interested in Dr. Fanon to have some future guidance?
Yes. When we read Black Skin, White Mask, we have to bear in mind that he wrote this at the age of 27. The Wretched of the Earth was written after his was written to was more reflective of his experience in Algeria, because it included quite a lot of solutions, quite a few solutions. Franz Fanon is somebody who brings solutions to the.
We've lost the doctor. Thank you.
Everybody say bless, say bless, say
bless.
Yeah.
Thank you, family. We're so grateful for each and every one of you who made a pledge during our spring membership drive. Though we didn't quite reach the finish line, your love carried us far. Your pledges, your presence, your belief in WPFW. They remind us that this station is more than radio. It's a rhythm, a refuge, a revolution. We trust you'll keep walking with us, dancing with us, building with us. Because this community-powered radio station rises with you and only with you. Thank you for keeping the beat alive.
Doctor, pardon the audio interruption. We don't know. It's a mystery. But if you could reiterate what you were trying to convey to us about the future guidance and understanding when reading Fanon, it'd be appreciated.
Yes. When we read Fanon, and when we compare him also to other theoreticians of the Black liberation movement, we have to root him in his particular, in his own profession, that of a psychiatrist. He found solutions in the collective. He doesn't. He sees that therapy is important for the patients, for the Algerians whose mind has been colonized. But he sees the solution as a collective, that collectively rejecting colonization. And he thinks that both the colonized and the colonizers need to have some sort of therapy. With the colonized, his mentality has been completely distorted. He has been taught to reject himself. He has been taught to embrace the mannerism, to embrace the philosophy, to embrace everything that the colonizer brings. So in that sense, his mind is sick because he's evading himself. There's this sort of neuroticism where he's evading himself. In the case of the colonizer, the colonizer is also in need of therapy because the colonizer has developed this psychopathic tendency, and we see that in the film, the psychopathic tendency where he does not see the other as a human being. So both are in need of therapy. Both are in need of a catharsis, so to speak. And his theory is valid even today, because the world in which we live is not a world that is devoid of colonialism. It's still, some people call it post-colonial, some people call it neo-colonial, but there are huge remnants of colonialism today in society.
And dare I say that even the practitioners within his discipline are still learning family systems, community engagement, a collective sense of being, which went a long way. We mentioned that a major and important chapter of his life was the dutiful work that he did in Algiers. But crossing language, his patience and others identifying across cultures, all that's conveyed by a living sense of humanity that was ascribed to him, that was in him, that was practiced. The strength that he had to navigate his interracial marriage with French society also is an important factor in this.
Absolutely.
This fullness of humanity that we credit the doctor to having us focus on, the practice of that went a long, long way. You said earlier at the beginning of our interview that he influenced the Southern Hemisphere, Palestine, Sri Lanka, Brazil, Cuba, and other places. Here in the United States, many different movements for Black lives and Black liberation, including the Black Panthers, Red Fanon. I'm wondering about something here. You're in the world of international affairs and diplomacy. How does Fanon's contributions operate in your world?
Well, Fanon's contribution is essential. It's essential to understand the dynamics between people. And understanding the dynamics between people is also part of diplomacy. So in order to understand how people react to colonization, and we have perfect examples today. We have the example of the Palestinians, for example, reacting to colonization. So understanding the dynamic is very important. You have the Ukrainians not wanting to be part of Russia, for example. There are all these dynamics of the colonized and colonizers, the dominant, the domineering, or those who dominate and those who are dominated. All that is a part of diplomacy. And in diplomacy, we don't advocate violence at all. We advocate peace. We advocate inclusion. And that's exactly what is happening right now, for example, in diplomacy. And when you exclude a group, for example, right now, we have in Washington a group of women from the Democratic Republic of Congo. And what they are asking for is to simply be heard, to be part of the, to be included in the peace negotiations. What is more, why wouldn't they be included in the peace negotiations? After all, they are the ones who feel the brunt of the war in the eastern part of Congo. They are the ones whose husband died, whose children died, whose children are in the mines. We have to remember also the cost of colonization. Colonization in the past, for example, has claimed more than 30 million victims, 30 million dead. The vast majority of them, well, half of them being in Congo. Congo has had at least between 15 and 20 million of people who died as a result of colonization. And it continues today. Today, for example, 6 million people have died in Congo, and this is a very conservative figure, 6 million people, and some people say that it's up to even 10 million people, have died between the 1990s and now as a result of the people wanting their minerals. They are simply taking the minerals from under their feet, literally, and subjugating their children, forcing the children to work mines. So this is all part of what is, it's not a distant past. What, when we talk about Fanon, we don't talk about a distant past. We talk about current issues. And, for example, the issues of the resources of Congo being siphoned by multinationals. It's a different form of colonization.
Doctor, allow me to reintroduce you. We're talking to Dr. Marilyn Seyfo-Clay. Dr. Seyfo-Clay is a professor of in the Department of World Languages and Culture at Howard University. She's also the president and founder of the Women's Ambassadors Foundation, as well as the African American and Afro-European Transatlantic Forum. In her duties and practice as a translator and interpreter, but importantly, a professor of languages, she brings a unique understanding to our topic at hand, which is taking another look at Frantz Fanon. Doctor, again, thank you for being with us. We're in what I call the final stretch of our program, where we have about less than 10 minutes, probably more like 8, to really summarize the importance of somebody like Frantz Fanon. I remind listeners again that WPFW exists for your support. We're grateful for it. Programs like Africa Now, which comes on at 1 p.m. Eastern on Wednesdays, certainly acknowledges African descendant people, both on the continent and throughout the world. I know that they will focus in this hearing, since you're listening to the show live today, the passing, the transition of Ngugi Wa Thiong'o, an important figure in world literature, certainly somebody that's somewhat related to Dr. Fanon. And so, Doctor, again, thank you. But let's take the next few minutes and just talk about the legacies that Frantz Fanon leaves for us.
Well, his legacy is huge.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, his legacy is huge. He's a towering figure in not just in not only in Black liberation, but in liberation movements around the world. Because he understood that the colonization comes first through the minds. People are colonized. When their minds are colonized, they are in a situation where it becomes very difficult to fight the colonizers. Fanon proposed a different model. He proposed reimagining society. And that's extremely important. Reimagining society free of dominance. Okay? So that's what Fanon proposed to the world. And should happen through first a catharsis. The catharsis of recognizing the patterns of colonization and being determined to eliminate those patterns, eliminate them if necessary by violence, but not necessarily by violence. Most important to him was that people free themselves of certain patterns, that they recognize first the patterns in their lives, and that they free themselves of those patterns. I mean, and it can be in very small things, okay? For example, it could be in stopping to whiten skins, for example. And that's the case in many countries, in India, certainly, in parts of Africa, where people think that by lightening their skin, that they will be more acceptable in society. It could be also by ejecting any imposition, cultural imposition. It could be
particularly
also,
language, right?
Mm-hmm. Pardon?
Particularly language.
Also, by highlighting one's own language and by using that language as opposed to being ashamed of that language. It could be by teaching children the history of Black kings and queens. It could be through, for example, reading works that are produced, written by Black liberators, for example. There is a host of things that Fanon would agree should happen to Black people in order to shed that the mantle of colonization and of domination. And he thinks one thing that we take away from Fanon is that this is important not just for the colonized, but it's important for the colonizer, because the colonizer is also imprisoned in that prison. He is so imprisoned that he is, if you will, he doesn't know any other way to act, any other way to function. He thinks that he always has to dominate and control others, that he has to take the biggest part of the cake for himself. And Fanon rejects that. He thinks that this is a sick society. The society that promotes that is sick, and that we need to completely rethink society. So rethinking society for him is extremely important. And it's all of us, it behooves all of us to be part of that project of rethinking society, of thinking of a society that is more free. Free for both those who dominate and those who are dominated.
Well, Dr. Marilyn Sefokle, I want to thank you for opening up the world of Frantz Fanon to us, the legacy that he leaves us. I understand again that you'll be speaking, introducing a film on him on Saturday, I believe that's June 7th, at 4:40 p.m. at the Silver Spring AFI Theater. Thank you for spending this hour with us. Thank you for, especially in this 100th year of his birth, that we don't forget, but sincerely remember and engage Dr. Frantz Fanon.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
My thanks to Mike Nocella, my engineer for the hour, taking us through all the demands of technology. It's appreciated, Mike. To the News and Public Affairs Department at WPFW, to the programmers who bring us such a variety of offerings, 3 p.m. Sophie's Parla, Music and Culture by Women for Everyone, 2 o'clock Zen El Amin with Shea Wanana, Mint and Tea. Moisa Mutali and James Pope facilitate Africa Now at 1 p.m., and every noon hour during the weekday, Don't Forget the Blues, the Wednesday edition, comes by way to you by Clarence the Bluesman Turner. We are grateful for both music and public affairs, music and knowledge, importantly, rolling into action. So together, through these broadcasts, we can build better communities and a better world, one broadcast at a time. Thank you for being with us in this hour. Stick with us. And thank you for your support. It's appreciated. Perhaps we'll meet again on the radio. Take good care.
Original Woman's Radio Collective. Wednesdays from 3 to 5 p.m. The best music divas on radio at 89.3 FM and sophiesparlor.blogspot.com.
Wondering how to
get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support jazz and justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
Freedom!
June is Caribbean American Heritage Month. Thus, CAWI, CPN, ICS, AFI, and Africa World Art Project present the 23rd DC Caribbean Film Fest, June 6th to June 12th, at AFI Silver Theater and Cultural Center in downtown Silver Spring. The festival showcases the best in Caribbean cinema with films such as the U.S. premiere of Fanon and more. The DC Caribbean Film Fest, June 6th to June 12th. Information at afi.com/silver or 301-495-6700. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hi, I'm Robin Holden.
Hi, I'm Miyuki Williams.
WPFW and Parks and People invite you to the Jazz and Justice Festival, Sunday, June 22nd, from 12 noon until 8 p.m. at Malcolm X Park.
It's a family-friendly celebration of culture, community, and resistance during the week of Juneteenth and the summer solstice.
Experience the power of WPFW's on-air voices brought to life with featured speakers Anthony Browder and Reverend Lennox Yearwood.
Live performances by Saiz Kamaluddin, Kaba, and Proverbs, plus DJ Lance Reynolds and Underdog, keeping the vibe alive.
Connect in the community, led by Milani Douglas. Explore art curated by Adrian Ferguson and enjoy intergenerational fun with activities for elders and children alike.
That's Sunday, June 22nd at Malcolm X Meridian Hill Park from noon until 8 p.m. Registration at eventbrite.com.
It's a Jazz and Justice Festival, the WPFW way.
WPFW.
Building a better world.
One broadcast at a time.
Everybody say bless, say bless, say bless. Yeah!
Thank you, family. We're so grateful for each and every one of you who made a pledge during our spring membership drive. Though we didn't quite reach the finish line, your love carried us far. Your pledges, your presence, your belief in WPFW. They remind us that this station is more than radio. It's a rhythm, a refuge, a revolution. We trust you'll keep walking with us, dancing with us, building with us. Because this community-powered radio station rises with you and only with you. Thank you for keeping the beat alive.
Greetings. This is Papa Wabe inviting you to check out my new showgram, Free Your Mind with Papa Wabe, every Thursday morning from 2 to 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We present a mashup of positive, uplifting music of different genres, mainly roots reggae. We also feature poetry, speeches, artist interviews, and so much more. That's Free Your Mind with Papa Wabe, Thursday mornings, 2 to 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on WPFW 89.3 FM, making it a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Free Your Mind!
Greetings. WPFW is pleased to announce the relaunch of our major donor program, now known as the Jazz and Justice Circle. If you gave $1,000 last year or so far this year, you are automatically enrolled in this cherished group of listener members, and we thank you. Benefits of your membership are at WPFWFM.org under the Support Us tab at the top of the homepage.